welcome back to another edition of the Prepper Recon Podcast. I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today. Ready-Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at readymaderesources.com. Hey, preppers and patriots. This is the second half of my interview with Bob Grisrod of Ready-Made Resources. Enjoy the show. The geopolitical stage is getting very, very concerning as well. The nuclear deal that was gifted to Iran, you would have thought that they would have been a little bit more grateful, but were you surprised at their lack of courtesy they extended to the 10 U.S. sailors?
No, not at all. I think there's something totally wrong about that whole deal. That to me seems like almost a setup. I've actually read that Barack Obama gave the position of that boat away, or his administration, someone in his administration did, and that was a whole setup. So I don't trust that whole thing. I think it stinks like fish, rotting fish. Something's wrong about that whole movement. Their imams and their leaders still say they're going to use EMP weapons against us. They're still calling for the complete destruction of Israel. We've seen so many times that the UN or these forces that go in to verify, it's easy after you get the deal, after they got their $50 billion back, after they can start trading oil and buying weapons again to say, well, we're not going to do this, isn't that, so we're not going to go over here and start playing a shell game. That's so easy to do. I mean, everybody that I respect, have read, has called this a pathetic deal for America. It was a total abdication of what we should have been doing. And, I'm glad the pastor, Saeed, was released. I'm glad those people got out. But Iran, from what I can understand, has basically, they won the poker game here, and they won it big time. This was a high-stakes poker game, and they won it. And again, we've left going off looking defeated, incapable of negotiating a quality deal. I don't want to speak for the people on that boat, but it didn't seem like they were up to the task of doing what they should have done. Something was wrong there. That's all. Something was wrong. So, yeah, Iran won big on this one.
And you mentioned the EMP. North Korea tested an H-bomb since the last time we spoke, and former CIA nuclear strategist Dr. Price said he believes that Kim Jong just tested the dreaded super EMP with that H-bomb. How do we even begin to prepare for such an event?
That would be one of the most catastrophic events we could have. We've probably all read the book, One Second After. Yeah, they projections that 90% of America would die and within a year. This takes some real logistics, some real thinking through. It doesn't take going online and buying a food supply that might or might not meet your needs. This is a real logistic thing. If you plan on surviving that, you better have set in a lot of things. You better look at your medical. Do you have everything in the area of medical? Can you deal with an injury that would normally be hospital treated? Can you prevent infection? Can you control, bleeding? Do you know how to, give someone an IV? Now, there's ways to give IVs that are not normal. I mean, you can give an IV, and I've done it with animals, with Pedialyte and an enema bag. Your colon will absorb water. It's called a poor man's IV. You can read about it. It's called rectal rehydration. There are ways to do things, but that level of prepping and planning is going to take some real thinking through. You have to go through everything you use and need and determine mission critical, not mission critical. I mean, chocolate bars, not mission critical. Eyeglasses, if you can't read, mission critical. How many pair do you want? More than one. If you can't read, you can't read a map, you couldn't read, books, you couldn't do things, follow instructions. If you live in a rural area, can you garden? Do you have the tools to garden? Do you have a larger, maybe, supply of ammunition and weapons? There are so many areas that you would need to address. I'm glad to help people that would call. I can talk through a lot of these things with them, and we don't charge anything to do it. They can call up, and I'll be glad to talk with them about it and spend more time with each person because each situation can be a little different. But, again, like I mentioned, if you live in an urban area, you know, you might want a protective mask because of dispersal agents that are used. If you live in a rural area, you might not need it as much. And so you have to really go through and determine where do I live, what can I face, what potential things I'll face, and what do I have to use on a daily basis. A lot of people forget just hygiene. I mean, just think of toothpaste, soap. If you don't keep clean, you're not going to keep healthy. And so, you know, you need that. There are things, you know, even in your food supply, you want to add a thing called food fatigue. If you're one of those beans and rice people that have bought, you know, 100 buckets of beans and rice, you're going to get what's called food fatigue, and you're going to really get depressed having to eat that stuff over and over and over again if you continue eating it. In the Bible, we read about the children of Israel. They fell into that thing, and they complained about it, you know, manna again. It's a real thing called food fatigue. Breaking up your food supply, putting herbs, spices, salt, pepper, mustard, ketchup, things that you can add to your food supply that break it up, so it breaks the monotony up. Learn how to do things. That's where, again, buying the freeze-dried meats, things of that nature. When you put that into your food supply, all of a sudden you've got you can make a lot of different selections and meals where it breaks up the monotony of just eating the same thing every single day. So, you know, I would, again, strongly recommend if you think that can happen, and I think there's a very good chance it will happen, either the complete nation or a good portion of the nation has happened, and when you break down from 2 weeks to a month or even longer, you're going to have to really think through this. You have to. It's not something you're just going to go online and pick out a few things and buy it. You're going to have to make a concerted effort of evaluating your circumstances and then filling those gaps in when those services or goods are not available.
And we were talking a little bit before the show. We were talking about the educational system and how a lot of the people that are coming out of the schools now have been indoctrinated to socialism. And of course, Bernie Sanders is really, really gaining steam against Hillary Clinton. I hope it doesn't go in that direction. But, if it does, who do you think would be the biggest threat to America? Kim Jong with his EMP or, Bernie Sanders?
Well, I'm not the biggest fan of Lincoln, but Lincoln did say it best that, you know, the greatest threat to America will come from within America. He made that speech. Obviously, today, the people in Washington pose a grave and present danger to our security, to our republic. We have been compromised at every level. Just think, the food we sell is not food. The education you get is really not an education. The medicine you take is questionable whether it does anything. We see
a lot of it makes you sicker.
Sicker, yes. It's like I tell people, most people don't understand that chemotherapy is mustard gas. I mean, that's exactly what it is, nitrogen mustard, and you take that in your body, and that's the sort of choice you have to make. But it makes you very, very sick if you take it. You know, we've got these an American population that, and a lot of it happens, so I don't want to condemn anybody. A lot of it is because we just don't know, but we have a grossly overweight populace that could not do physical labor. The U.S. military estimates that only half of America would be fit for military service at this moment. We have an entertained that we are, I mean, people are glued to these entertainment things. That's all they is, entertainment, entertainment, entertainment. Nothing of any consequence, nothing of any value, nothing of any personal enrichment, nothing of any spiritual development. It's all entertainment, entertainment, entertainment. We have a society that is the most drugged society in the history of mankind. You know, we have these benzodiazepine drugs. We have mind-altering drugs that large portions of America are on. And that's one of the things in the book, One Second After, that they pointed out. You know, 80% of the people that are taking these mood-altering drugs are going to have a very, very bad day. But 10% of them, and I mean this sarcastically, not sarcastically, but, you know, I don't mean it reverently, 10% of them are going to start hearing God tell them to skin you alive. You know, they're going to start hearing the voices.
Yeah.
And, you know, those voices are going to be telling them to say, hey, God wants me to skin you alive. Those people, they're going to be very, very dangerous. But when you walk down a road today, this is a situation, back to situation awareness, to keep in mind, 1 in 5 Americans has been chemically altered mentally with a mind-altering psychotropic drug or something to that effect. That's reason, maybe a good reason to carry everywhere you go. By carry, I mean, you know, carrying a firearm. If you're legally allowed to carry it, carry it. But those are just some of the things. An overweight, entertained, drug-addicted society that's also pornography-addicted. Now, I've talked to sociologists about this pornography thing, and it affects religious and non-religious people together. You think of people we see government employees that we read about them, 6 hours a day they're downloading porn. You think what happens when the rule of law breaks down, and that is what they have saturated their mind with. What are they going to do? They're going to go out and act out for reality. They're going to go out and act out what they've drowned their brains in. And so I hate to paint a dismal picture, because there's always hope. As a Christian, there's always hope. I have hope in God. God protects me. God watches over me. Even in death, God will usher me home. So there's always hope. But for this world that has abandoned the principles of God, the laws of God, we see some pretty dismal, bleak things. And I think it's going to come home to roost, and I think everybody's going to have to deal with it.
And you mentioned pornography, and I read an article on Crosswalk, and out of the pastors surveyed on a particular survey, more than half of them admitted to having looked at pornography in the past year or so. I think it's a really, really good thing for people to make sure you're in a good church. Make sure you're in a church where your pastor is challenging you to live a holy life. Because if he's looking at pornography, there's a good chance that he's not going to really want to talk a whole lot about holiness, and he's not going to really want to encourage you to live a holy life if that's the type of lifestyle that he's living, because he doesn't want to come under the conviction himself, because he'd rather, like most people, wallow in a sin, unfortunately. So make sure you're in a good church and you're in a good fellowship where you are being challenged like that, because unfortunately.
Can I be frank?
Yes, absolutely.
I'll ask you a question. Have you been tempted with pornography? I'll answer the question. I'd say every red-blooded man has been tempted with pornography. It is wired into our genes. There are things out there that we can do to prevent us from being tempted. We use a program on every phone, every tablet, every computer we have. We have a program called Covenant Eyes. It not only blocks those kind of sites, but my best friend and my wife get a report from everything any of our employees look at. So if somebody goes to a stray site, I've got my friend watching over my back. He's going to call me up. My wife is going to say, what's this? It's simple. It helps prevent temptation. I would dare say that every guy listening right now, even a lot of women, because women are becoming more and more consumers of pornography, are tempted with it. Take the temptation away. I mean, Covenant Eyes is a wonderful program. It monitors everything. You can set it up for your children. I have a 13-year-old boy. I've never had any reason to suspect he's looking at pornography, but he's 13 years old. So he has a phone. It's on there. I get a report. If he goes somewhere they shouldn't go, I get a report. So it's a good safety thing to keep purity in our lives and to make sure that we do not fall into traps that we can so easily fall into. There's a reason why 67% of pastors and people fall into pornography. It can be a pleasurable sin to fall into, but there are things out there that's wrong. It's a sin against God. If you're married, it's a sin against your wife. It's a sin against the body of Christ. But there are things out there that we can do to help prevent that from becoming an issue in our lives.
Very, very good advice. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. KD Armor offers affordable body armor, including level 3 trauma plates made of AR-500 steel. These plates can endure multiple rounds from pistols and rifles up to 7.62 NATO. Use coupon code PREPPERRECON to get 10% off your entire order at KDArmor.com. That's CATIArmor.com.
Get prepared before disaster strikes. PrepperRecon.com offers Molly-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, tough strip bandages, and so much more. $99 includes shipping. Go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
And at the beginning of each year, which we're well into 2016 now, but I try to do a series and try to get back to the basics of prepping for one reason. Throughout the year, we pick up a lot of new listeners. And then also the folks that have been around for a while, you can kind of get pigeonholed into this thing or the other thing and kind of get away from the basics and forget about things. And one of the things we wanted to talk about with you was bug out bags, because for the new folks, you know, they need to know what's in it. And then for the folks that have had one for a while, maybe it's been sitting in the closet and it needs to come out and they need to drag it apart and get the expired stuff out of there, replace it with new stuff and make sure that everything that's got batteries still works, and maybe replace the batteries and make sure they haven't leaked all over everything else. And just kind of do a checkup on your bug out bag. So, wanted to talk about that for a little bit. Let's start out. Let's talk about the bag itself. What color, size, and style do you recommend?
Okay. I would recommend, first of all, again, afford what your budget can afford. If you go down and buy a $39 backpack, I guarantee you that $39 backpack is not designed to go on a two-week bug home. It is designed to go out maybe once a year, go out into the woods for a couple days, and come home. And it might last you 3 or 4 years. Same thing with tents, same thing with sleeping bags. So stretch your budget as much as you can and purchase the best you can purchase. I personally recommend, and it is hands down the best backpacks in the world, are called Eberle stock. We sell them. All the Navy SEALs, Special Forces guys, Rangers, that is their go-to preferred bag. Some of their models even have an AR-15 scabbard in it, so you can actually carry your AR-15 covered in the back. Now, you can go with the multicam. I would recommend maybe Hunter, they have an earth tone, something that doesn't say military, something that just says I'm out for a pleasurable walk or hike or whatever. So it doesn't say that, give away that you possibly were ex-military or whatever. Do something that's neutral. Again, we could go into a whole discussion for 1 hour on the gray man. Don't be the guy wearing, going Rambo. People are going to notice you. You want to try to stay unnoticed. To a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So you don't want to be the nail that's sticking out of the wood, because it's going to get hammered. Eberle stock are my best. Tents and sleeping bags, you want to make sure they're rated for the area that you'll be coming home in. Obviously, if I'm in Florida, I don't need an Arctic bag. But if I'm in North Dakota, I probably need an Arctic bag in my kit. So those are some of the things that you would need. Water will be a huge thing. In cold climates or hot climates, you burn off tremendous amounts of water. Hiking, you're going to burn off tremendous amounts of water. So you need to have a way. You can't carry that much water. You can carry a camelback in there that may be a gallon, gallon and a half. But you're going to go through that water quickly. So you need to have a way of procuring fresh drinking water. Katadyn Vario is an excellent water filter for that. It's lightweight. If you are in the north and you hike bugging home when it's cold out, keep in mind, water is a weird molecule. It expands when it freezes. And so if you have water in a water filter that's residue water and it freezes, that water is going to expand and it can rupture the filtering membrane. So you want to keep your water filter from freezing temperatures, even if it means putting it up against your body. So you want to keep it. You want to keep that. You want to make sure you have electrolytes. That if you're hiking home, that you have a good supply of electrolytes in your bug home bag or bug out bag, that if you're sweating a lot, you're going to need to replace those electrolytes. We sell some things that they're electrolyte salts. You can get a lot of them. There's all kinds of drinks now where you can get a high concentration potassium, magnesium, and sodium. Those are the electrolytes you'll need. Make sure you do that. One thing people totally overlook in their bug home bag, is how many people have hiked 20 miles in a day or 15 miles in a day? You're going to want to change your socks to new socks. you're going to want to have liners in your car. So you have a liner sock and you have a heavy sock. And then, even if you're hiking long periods of time, there are probably high spots on your feet, and everybody's feet are different, where you're going to get a blister or some type of wearing. You don't want to ignore that, because that eventually will be a blister, will pop. You'll have exposed raw skin. That exposed raw skin will be in an environment that's hot and moist. Well, that's perfect for bacteria to grow. There's things called mole skins, like, you know, like a subterranean mole. Mole skin is something that you can put on a red spot on your foot from wear, and it helps mitigate that rubbing. So it really will allow your feet to go much further. Foot powders to keep your feet dry, you know, antibiotic creams, things of that nature. If you're not used to hiking home long periods of distance, you want to make sure you get put a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory in there. A lot of people don't like them. I try to avoid them. But if you're hiking and you haven't been used to hiking, your knees are going to swell, your ankles are going to swell, and your feet are going to swell. You're going to want to keep that swelling down. You want to use that as a proactive measure. I mean, if I know I have to hike home 10 miles, I'll take the ibuprofen before I even start, and I'll be taking it all along the way just to keep the swelling down, because if my feet swell, things like that, then it's going to slow down my movement, if not completely stop it. So just some things to think about. The other thing are the shoes itself. If I live in Florida and I'm hiking home, you know, on flat ground, you know, you can end up with just an ankle boot. That's fine. But if you're hiking anywhere we have hills, uneven surfaces, you know, a mountainous area, you're going to want a full-up 8-inch boot to where you can support your ankles. So those are just some things that people need to think about depending on where they're at. Obviously, the standard things, you want a compass, you want, you know, your food supply in there, maybe a signal mirror, a way to start a fire, some fire tinder, a good quality knife. We recommend Cold Steel. Cold Steels, to me, are phenomenal knives. Not that expensive, and you know, you want a good knife, because a knife you can use to skin an animal, you can use to cut wood, cut string, you can make a shelter out of it if you needed to. It is a self-defense weapon. You can tie it to a stick and make a spear. So a good knife is an essential in there, obviously, if you carry a firearm with you. The one thing I haven't addressed, and I think I addressed it last time on the program, is having traveled so much, is night vision. It's an expensive item, not cheap, but half a day is going to be dark outside. Bad people do bad things at night. If you can buy a pair of night vision, I mean, you know, the good ones are in the $3,000 price range. It is absolutely a game changer. I mean, it will be one of the most important pieces of tactical gear you own. This is to the guy who's gone out and bought, you know, a half a dozen AR-15s. Get rid of a few. Buy a pair of night vision. You can hand hold it. You can drive with it, so I can drive home at night with my lights off in a grid down situation. Most people won't be able to do that. I can hike home at dark. Most people won't be able to do that. So night vision is one of those things that is such a force multiplier. And, you know, it is that one of those things I would strongly recommend considering putting into your survival plan.
And you mentioned food for the bug-out bag. MREs can get kind of pricey if you're going to try to base your entire food storage plan on an MRE. But do you think it's worth it to splurge for those for your bug-out bag?
Well, I would prefer a freeze-dried meal myself because of the weight. I can always get water, or generally I should be able to get water along the way. Hopefully you can, and rehydrate and use the water as I need it. You know, you carry a box of MREs, and they're 40 pounds. That's a lot of weight to carry, and so you're gonna be very heavy. And again, if you haven't hiked along, that's going to exacerbate all those things we talked about, joint issues and muscle issues and swelling, because you're carrying more weight. I try to go with freeze-dried. I love the Mountain House pouches. You know, just get pouched Mountain House meals. I can get spaghetti, I can get lasagna, chicken and rice, chicken teriyaki. I mean, and so that's what we put. We build a bug out bag, and it's a quality bug out bag using the aforementioned stuff I talked about. And we put Mountain House pouches in it because of that, because we want to keep it as light as possible. And with bug out bags, you might overload your bug out bag. And I have. My bug out bag weighs more than I would be carrying home, because it depends on the situation. If I'm a mile away from home, I might dump all the food. I might dump everything just to get home and keep a firearm in a light pack. If I'm 50 miles away from home, you know, that's a different story. I wouldn't be dumping the food at that point. No way. If I have to go through a city, I might have a protective mask. If I'm hiking in the woods, I doubt if people are going to be using, you know, dispersal agents on me. So I have to dump that. I carry more than what I need. I doubt if I would be faced with a situation where all those components would come into play. So I want to be prepared for a multiplicity of events, but at the site where it happens, where I have to decide, I've got to abandon the vehicle, I've got to head home now, I'm going to probably dump a lot of my stuff and just leave it there. If somebody needs it, they can take it. I'm not going to hike it home. Because I'm going to want to be light, mobile as I can possibly be to get home as quickly as I can be. And that, again, you know, radio communication in your bug home bag. I've talked about that extensively. Repeater towers will probably be up longer than other things because a lot of times they're battery operated. And so if there's a computer hack, the repeater towers might not be affected. So if I have an amateur radio license and I have a radio that transmits and receives on amateur radio, VHF, UHF, I could possibly hit those repeaters and then go for long distances where I could talk home and at least let my wife know I'm safe. I'm on my way home. Here I am. And then go from there. And then she could respond back to me. You know, again, maintaining OPSEC the whole time I'm on the radio. I'll never use her name, never use my name. We have a plan in place that if I give a – there's a calendar, and every calendar has offsets onto that calendar, that if she looked at today and I gave her a time that, you know, honey, I'll be there at 1,400 hours, there's an offset to that. So that it would be plus or minus – you know, for so many distance, so that if I say 1,400 hours, you could go and look and say, well, that's minus 2 hours for today, so that means you'd only be there 1,200 hours. So that, you know, you don't want people showing up at the party you're going to give. You want to mislead them. And so there's a whole kinds of ways you can do that, and I'd be glad to talk about that one time. You know, approach codes, radio communications can distort your voice. And so I don't want somebody spoofing that I'm me when I'm not. So if you know, if I said, you know, I would use her radio name. I'm not going to give it out, but let's just say it's Honey. Honey, you know, this is Prep Man. That's not my real, you know, but I'll just say for the sake of argument, that's what it is. I'm approaching, and she would say authenticate. Now, all of a sudden, I've got to come back with something. And you could use an animal, you can use a color, you can use anything. So if let's just say it was an animal, I'd have to say authenticate for the animal of the day is goat. I would have to say goat. And she would know that's me. If not, she would know it's not me. And then, you know, she would at that point say, somebody's spoofing me, somebody's has eyes on me, and I got to raise my situational awareness quite a bit right now because somebody is trying to imitate, you know, somebody I love, and they're trying to compromise me. So those are just things that you can do. But communication in your bug home bag is essential.
What's your favorite flashlight?
Oh, gosh. The easy answer is the one I have when I need it. You know, I want a flashlight. Let's just put this away. I want a flashlight that has a very, very low setting, a medium, and a high setting. High setting, even a strobe light setting, is good that if I come up with somebody, I can flick it in their eyes, and it is going to temporarily blind them. So I can temporarily blind them with that. Low setting, I'd want it for that if I just want barely enough light, if I had to maneuver without night vision, that it's not going to be shining over to the hill, you know, 2 miles away. So it's just barely enough light to see what I'm doing and where I'm going. So three settings, possibly a strobe light. I would want one that probably uses standard AA batteries, rechargeable. In the bug home bag we put a really quality solar panel in there so you can charge AA batteries over again. That way, you know, if I need it, I can recharge the battery. Same thing with the night vision. The night vision takes a AA battery, so I can recharge them. I'd want to have some way to recharge batteries. Again, it's one of those things that if I'm a day away from home, I realize I don't need a solar panel. I'll throw it away. Maybe not. I might take it home with me and use it, but you get the point. But being able to recharge, have electricity, can be absolutely essential. You know, if you're going to be carrying a GPS in your bug home bag, I recommend putting it in an EMP bag so that it's protected from an EMP pulse. And again, the solar panel, as you're using it during the day, you could hang the solar panel on the back of your backpack, and it's charging your GPS as you're going. So GPS is a great way to get home as long as it's up and running.
The survival rule of three says you can only last about 3 hours without shelter in harsh conditions. What's the best shelter solution for a bug out bag?
Well, yeah, again, if it's just you, we sell something made by ProForce Equipment called an Ionosphere. It is a bug out bivy bag. It's enough for one person to get inside. And the nice thing about that is, you know, you're going to maintain body temperature in there a lot easier. It's waterproof. It has a bathtub bottom on it. So if it's raining, you know, you've got the first 3 inches of the bag are waterproof so that you're not going to get water seeping into your bug out bag and get cold and rainy and damp and have that extracting heat out of your body very quickly. If you're going to be planning for more, you want to be able to address that for every person with a bigger tent. We are representatives for ProForce Equipment, which I think they make some phenomenal stuff. It's used by British SAS, and so we like it. I can go down to Walmart and buy a really cheap tent. The fact is, if it doesn't leak, you know, if the seams don't come apart, it's something that might be designed to use once a year on the 4th of July weekend, you know, and for a couple of years and you lose a pole, breaks, snaps, whatever. You want something quality, you know, you're going to have to pay for it. But that's what I have in mind is that. And then ProForce makes a single bivy bag. They also make tents, and they're three-season tents, so they're going to withstand a lot of wind. They're going to withstand the elements. They're designed to be used for survival. So again, that's what we put in our bug out bag or bug home bag that we sell. And that way, when people get something, you know, I don't want to sell them something that's going to be just a peace of mind only. And then when they go to use it, it's going to fall apart. I'll tell you right now, if you get a bug out bag for $249 that says it touches all the bases, you've got junk. And I see them all the time.
So. What are some of the common mistakes that beginners make with their bug out bag?
They have to realize they have to plan. As I said, you have to plan through the scenarios you might possibly face. The big mistake would be trying to hump home too much stuff and not realize that weight is going to get to you very quickly, that it's going to be – every pound of extra weight is tremendous shock on your knees and caloric intake you're going to need to transport that. Just imagine, you know, what they say for every – pound they want to shoot up into space, it's like $1 million or something. Well, I mean, it's a lot smaller than that, but for every pound you want to hump home or tote, it's going to have a price to pay for doing it. So make an evaluation, you know, at the time of need and make sure you have that equipment with you. I would rather have too much than not enough. So again, I would do that. And again, I think one of the mistakes people make is they want to get a bug out bag together, so they buy a bunch of cheap stuff and put it in a bug out bag. Cheap knife, cheap tent, cheap sleeping bag. And then they start to use this and they realize the tent's going to leak, so I'm going to get cold. I'm not going to sleep. The sleeping bag does not repel water, to put it simply, so that when you sweat or whatever, the water is retained in the sleeping bag, and then again, that water then saps heat out of your body, further reducing your strength, requiring more caloric intake to keep the heat in your body. You want something that repels water well, and there's a lot of good sleeping bags out there that do that. That if you sleep in it, keep in mind, if you sleep even in Antarctica, if you sleep in a sleeping bag, your body's going to still perspire. Moisture is going to build up in your sleeping bag, and it's going to reduce the thermal capability of that sleeping bag dramatically over 2 weeks. So you want a sleeping bag that can be dried easily. In other words, you're buying a better bag. You get those padded bags that are padded with some kind of cotton lining or something like that. That's a death trap in a cold environment. Take your time, plan it well, buy good equipment. I'd rather have 3 or 4 pieces of good equipment than a dozen pieces of bad equipment. And that's I'd say one mistake people can easily make is doing that, buying cheap equipment just because they want to check the box. And big mistake.
And you mentioned that you do have some bags that are pre put together for folks, is that right?
Yeah, we put a quality water filter. I mean, you can go on there. There's 20-some items in there, and there's other things you can put in to meet your needs. We put chemical lights in it. So if your flashlights break, you still have a chemical light. Now, those will work under any condition, so you can still see and navigate. We put a lot of a really good compass in there, a good knife. Again, we mentioned the ProForce tent, the ProForce sleeping bag, paracord, you know, we put the Mountain House food in there. We put a Camelback water filter in there. It's quite extensive what we put in there, but at the end of the day, you're going to have a bag that you can absolutely rely on. You learn how to use that equipment, it is not going to fail you. It's going to do what it needs to do and get you home safely. So, you know, it's not proper grammar, but I'm fond of saying it, cheap ain't good and good ain't cheap. and it's so true. You buy cheap and it's not any good. So you've got that to deal with. And, you know.
So when we go to Ready Made Resources, where can we find the pre-put together bug out bag?
Just type in bug out bag. It'll come up.
Okay. And
it'll come right up.
And you've got regular specials. How can folks find out about those?
Well, they can go to our website. We do highlight specials. Like I said, our Mountain House is on special right now. But we have 25% off on our Mountain House, so time to buy. It's a wonderful food to own, especially for bugging home or bugging out, because it's lightweight. It's pre-cooked, so all you do is add water, and you got a meal. And it's a tasty meal. So, you know, that's on sale. We try to maintain a very good price on anything, and I'm willing to talk with anybody. We tell people if you find something better at a better price, I'm willing to match anybody's price. And the other thing I think Ready Made Resources offers that a lot of people don't offer, if you call a company, you might just get an order taker. I'm willing to sit down and talk with people. I've had a lifetime of extensive experience overseas. I've traveled, million miles on an airplane, over 40 countries. I grew up on a Navy SEAL base, Little Creek Amphibious Base, and all my Boy Scout masters or people like that were hardcore survival type people. They didn't call them that back then, but I learned a lot just even growing up my childhood. And then for the last 20 some years, we've lived on a working homestead where we are, you know, we put into practice everything that we do. So, whether it's animal husbandry, gardening, multiple disciplines.
And then for folks that would like to call and get some advice, what's the number they call?
They would call 800-627-3809. Now, I will say from 4 to 5 this evening, I'm going to be occupied. But if you take that number down, 800-627-3809, I'm pretty much in, you know, around all the time. I'll be glad to talk to anybody. I do tell you this, you know, it is a passion. Hope you can tell it's a passion of mine to get people prepared. You don't feel like you have to buy something if you have a question. We don't try to run our business that way. We try to run it, in a manner that we try to help people get what they'll need, proper amount of money spent on it and, you know, get you equipped because, there's a lot of people, I mean, a lot of stuff out there you gotta be careful buying. You buy junk or you buy something that doesn't work and you don't want to find out at the time you need it, that you've bought something that's not going to be what you need.
Bob, thanks again for making time for us today.
Yes, sir. Enjoyed it very much. And again, feel free to call. Look forward to doing it again with you.
Are we living in a time of which there is more prophetic writings than of any period in history? Watch through the eyes of Noah Parker and his family as a global empire takes shape. Ancient writings are fulfilled, and the last days fall upon the once great United States of America. The Days of Noah, Book 1, Conspiracy, by Mark Goodwin, is a fast-paced fiction thriller which looks at how modern conspiracies could play into biblical prophecy concerning end times. Buy The Days of Noah in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.